So lecture 15, October 11, 2023, lecture notes page is, 123. I guess that's right. Half the time when you shouldn't have your phone out, you do. Today I'm saying get out your phone, do the old QR code scan. Any of our dance team here today? Dance? No? None of you are here today? Oh, there they are. So I offered to, they could show me a routine that I could do for you while you were voting for them. And they said, Dr. Marks, there's not enough time in the class to teach you a routine. But I thought that we could nonetheless have you guys help them out by taking a minute to scan the QR code. Once you do that on that site, it's going to ask you to enter your email so they know that you're not me. And then vote for the Kent State Dance Team. That would be the point. And then they're going to ask you to verify your email as part of that process. So if you're willing to, you know, flashes, support flashes and all that. We good? Anybody wants to do it that doesn't have enough time? Have you had time? Does it work from the back? Or do you didn't try in the back? I'm doing all I can, ladies. I mean, maybe you should do a dance routine. Yes? No? Maybe? Does it work? It does? Thank you. All right. So, thank you for your support. We good? Is it working? Last reminder, I think. I'll probably wrap it up after this reminder. If you're interested in the KSU Sales Club, the next meeting is October 12th in the Brinzo Lab. That's the first floor of the College of Business across from room 115. Be there if you're interested in sales. I forgot to move my arrow, so today is no longer the 9th. It's now the 11th. We're in lecture 15. We know that. What do we know that? We know that mini test 6 has already closed, 90% average. We know that mini test 7 is up and running and will close on the usual schedule on Sunday. I did just, you have your problems with Canvas and Gradebook and whatever. I got my problems with Canvas and Gradebook and whatever. Since I've been using Canvas, when I upload your grades, I can also upload your letter grades. It updates. It stopped doing that. I think I mentioned it last class period. So now what I need to do is duplicate the grade column, kill the letter grade column, kill your letter grade column, download the new empty grade column, and upload those grades fresh. Like I got nothing better to do with my time than to do that instead of just doing it the old way. So just now, I think, you should have gotten, however you get notification, that I updated your current grade with mini test 6. The term one was already there. And from what I can see, the new process does upgrade your letter grade too. As always, take a look at the grade book and let me know if there's any questions, issues, or problems, because it could be a little goofy while I'm working through this problem. Okay? enhanced learning extra credit. Where are we today? Number 5 opens tomorrow and runs until next Wednesday. So that's something I got to get going for you. So this was a little research report that came out. It's always fun to see how brands are rated. This is both globally and domestically by a research report. The 10 simplest and most complex brands, Whole Foods rises while X falls. So grocers Little and Whole Foods top a new ranking of the simplest brands globally in the U.S. and in the U.S., while X, formerly known as Twitter, was listed as the most complex brand in the States, a sign that consumers are unclear on the platform's purpose. So we refer to this as positioning the brand in your mind's eye. Do you understand what it is? Does it make sense? Is it clear or isn't it? Not being clear is a bad thing. And measuring consumer attitudes. The findings come from Siegel and Gale's latest World's Simplest Brands report, which surveyed more than 15,000 respondents in 9 countries on how brands made their life simpler or more complex, with simpler being a more positive trait. So we're seeing marketing research and one of those syndicated studies we talked about that they run for industries and you can buy into. Typically, what we've seen in simplest brands is that they promise a good experience and deliver on it, says Brian Rafferty. So deliver what you promise is something we see in marketing. Here is the global top 10 Google, Amazon, Aldi, Samsung, 7-Eleven, McDonald's, Uniqlo, Family Mart, Burger King. And here's the U.S. top 10, Whole Foods. How many shop at Whole Foods? Okay, one person. It's simple, but not popular, I guess. The U.S. Post Office, Lyft, UPS, Burger King, Dunkin', Trader Joe's, Amazon, Old Navy, and Google are the top ones in the U.S. Whole Foods ranked as the simplest brand in the U.S. this year, up from 18th last year, despite being seen as, well, more expensive or a niche grocery chain. Respondents surveyed at the beginning of the summer rated Whole Foods as simple because the chain makes it easier for them to make healthy choices and, in some cases, offers deals to achieve those healthy choices, according to the researcher. So we're providing value to the consumer. In the U.S., the U.S. Postal Service came in second, followed by Lyft, UPS, Burger King, Dunkin', Trader Joe's, and Amazon, which owns Whole Foods and was last year's top-ranking brand in the U.S., Old Navy, and Google. Globally, Google ranked as second, simplest brand, followed by Amazon, Aldi, Samsung, 7-Eleven, McDonald's, Uniqlo, the Japanese convenience store, Family Mart, and Burger King, 7-Eleven, etc. Looks like I duplicated that. Those are new to the top 10 global brands this year. X, formerly known as Twitter, fell from 104 last year to 142 this year, putting it dead last and making it the most complex brand in the U.S. The drop came after Twitter rebranded to X under the ownership of Elon Musk, who's faced scrutiny among advertisers for how the platform handles brand safety. So when you have trust issues with the brand, it's not really going to make consumers happy. And they have trust issues with the brand right now. So a little bit about how brands are faring on this particular measure globally and in the U.S. Size, fit, quality, what women over 40 want from brands. Fashion brands have made significant strides over the past few years towards greater inclusion, diversity, and representation, but they've been slow to shed their fixation on youth and celebrate women of all ages in their marketing. As a marketer at J. Jill Brand, a brand that serves women over 40, this author thinks constantly about how to meet their consumer where she is, to understand and more deeply what she wants and what she needs. Remember marketing, understanding and fulfilling consumers' needs, wants, and desires. Here's a person in the real world saying, yes, that's what we do. Also, she's looking at a demographic market segment. We're going to talk about market segmentation today, and that is women over 40. At J. Jill, we surveyed women aged 40 to 70 to inform our brand research in 2022 and shed some light on this demographic's real persona and sentiments. What we found was that brands that talked to her about giving her confidence are getting it wrong. So here we're seeing just what we got done talking about, marketing research to understand the consumer. Women over 40 don't need affirmation and empowerment. They already have it. They don't need to derive confidence through a brand's offerings. They've already got that. With a firm sense of self, she, the woman over 40, is looking for an informed style partner rather than an authority. At J. Jill, we aptly operate by the maxim, it's not the outfit that makes the woman, it's the woman that makes the outfit. So we're understanding our consumer through our research. Based on our research, most women have two things that brands must understand: discernment and dimensionality. Discernment, women over 40 know what looks good on them. They're selective, they choose trends over chasing them, with a particular attunement to fit, style, and quality. Understanding your target market, understanding your consumer. Dimensions, women over 40 today are multifaceted, active members of their communities. Whether they're at the height of their careers or entering retirement, these women wear many hats and pursue many new experiences and discoveries with the financial means to realize them. Remember, we say discover and satisfy consumer needs, wants, and desires at a profit through an integrated effort of the firm. It's nice to have a target market that has good finances behind them. In an age of diminishing brand loyalty due to social media, fast fashion, and choice overload, this customer will stick with brands that they can trust and consistently rely on to meet their needs. To drive the point further, a survey we ran in the first quarter of 2023 found that Reliability is one of the key drivers behind women's purchasing decisions. So what's my point from a teaching viewpoint? They're doing continuing research to understand the consumer. You can't do it once and let it go. In short, women over 40 are an unequivocal force in the consumer market. When it comes to marketing, brands would be wise to take note of women's evolving roles, understand this audience's expectations, and give them attention through marketing that celebrates their totality, honors who they are, and the stage of life. Remember family life cycle we talked about? The stage of life they're in, and serve their unique needs. So yay, J. Jill, following exactly what we've been talking about in the class in terms of understanding the consumer, doing research, and satisfying them. Yay. Everything bad is now good for you, but not really. In Beyond Meat's comical new ad, Beyond Meat's product line of animal-free steaks, sausages, and hamburgers is said to be so much healthier than the real deal that you could be forgiven for thinking that everything bad is good for me. Or at least you could if your name is Rizwan Manji. In a new commercial for the Alternative Meat Company, the Canadian actor who played Ray Boutani on Schitt's Creek is told by an off-screen narrator, voiced by Chris Parnell, that the plant-based Beyond Steak is healthy for him.
And I said, let's talk about it.
New heart-healthy Beyond Steak. Now steak is good for you.
Wait, now steak tacos are good for me?
Well, the plant-based Beyond Steak is, yes.
Everything bad is good for me! Now, cheese steaks are good for me?
They're better with Beyond Steak, but...
Even nachos are good for me?
Listen, just Beyond...
Everything bad is good for me!
Oh, boy.
Doing my own sets is good for me!
Well, I wouldn't.
Everything is good for me.
Sorry, no. Just the Beyond Steak. This changes everything about steak.
Okay, I don't know how hysterical it is, but they consider it humorous, attention-getting. Manji takes the advice a step too far, proclaiming that everything from Philly cheesesteaks to doing his own stunts must suddenly be good for me, only for Pennell to hit him with a reality check, so humor and advertising. The 30-second spot anchors a wider campaign Beyond Meat is launching this week, titled This Changes Everything, including online video, radio, digital, out of home, like the billboard up there on the left, and paid social placements with Meta and TikTok. So there's their media plan. So anybody like, have you tried that plant-based meat yet? How is it? It's pretty good, really. It's not too bad. Wow, that's plant, it's tasty. We know that health is a top driver to the plant-based meat category, so we want to emphasize our product's key nutritional benefits while still communicating their great taste to elevate these products for consumers who are looking for plant-based meat options that not only taste incredible, but are better for them and their families. So our target market value, that group. It's that duality that gets to the root of the company's recent marketing efforts, educating the public that its meat alternatives can be both tasty and often healthier than animal protein. That's a key point driven home in the This Changes Everything campaign. Beyond Steak's recent Heart Check certification by the American Heart Association. And that's a bit of brand positioning. Who are we out there in the marketplace? All right, lecture notes, page 123, chapter 9, 246 in the textbook. So we've been talking about research to understand the consumer. We don't do that just to do it. One of the important things that we're going to get out of this is a fuller understanding of different types of consumers, which takes us to chapter 9, 126, 123 in the lecture notes, check that, whichever it is. And this is the concept that I paraphrased here as market segmentation, S, targeting, T, and positioning, STP. Also a brand name for motor oil products, motor products, STP, additives. And in the music industry, Stone Temple Pilot. Yeah. But here it's segmentation, targeting, and positioning. All right, so we're back to our framework. We haven't seen it for a while, yes? And we're now looking out to the consumer market. We're engaging in segmentation. I'm going to explain what it is in a minute. And target marketing. And then the next piece over, selecting our positioning, STP, as we move down our framework for strategic marketing management. Let's backtrack a little bit, though, to a real-world example of a company that really gets the idea of segmenting the market, focusing on a target market, and satisfying that target market. So we all know Hewlett-Packard, yes, company we know. HP's Imaging and Printing Group, IPG, is the leading imaging and printing systems provider in the world for printer hardware, printing supplies, and scanning devices, providing solutions across consumer segments, from individual consumers, one segment, to small and medium businesses, another segment, to large enterprises, another segment. The company segments include individual consumers and households with personal computing devices. Yeah, so that's the B2C market, right? Business to consumer. Comprehensive suite of products and services for small and medium-sized businesses, SMBs, a B2B marketplace, and solutions for larger enterprises and organizations, including data centers, servers, storage systems, networking solutions, and software, another B2B segment for them. The company serves professionals in fields such as graphic design, architecture, engineering, and printing with specialized products. And the education sector, providing technology solutions tailored for schools, colleges, and universities. It's pretty good. It has a lot of segments. It covers the marketplace pretty well. How did it get there? How did it get to this position? Well, let's go back in time a little bit to the 1980s. Personal computers are becoming available and popular for the first time with businesses. Business users needed a fast way to get good quality hard copies of information off of their PCs. Before then, have you ever seen any old movies where they have a line printer? It's going on green and white paper, ka-chunk, 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 a line at a time. It's a big unit. Then they actually did invent some things before these printers. They look like IBM Selectric balls, and they would spin. They weren't that fast, but that's what they did. And now Hewlett-Packard gets into the business. Business users needed a fast way to get good quality hard copies of information off their PCs. HP recognized this need and developed the LaserJet brand of printers. This virtually created a desktop publishing boom. Prior to this time, any work of that kind you needed to get done, you'd mock it up, you'd send it off to a printer somewhere, they'd send it back, you'd cut it and reshift it. There was no desktop approach to this work. Now businesses could do that on their own and print it up. As a leading innovator, HP set the standard for printers. Competition entered the printer field. Anytime you're doing a good job in the marketplace, somebody else is going to want some of that action. So competition rears its ugly head. But HP was able to offer even better printers. They were a market leader and stayed ahead of the group, including high-capacity models for businesses with computer networks. 1990s. Personal computers became more affordable, and now for the first time, PCs are purchased by actual people, B2C, actual consumers. HP then added this new segment to their printer market. They targeted new, easy-to-use printers for that family market. They needed a different way to reach this new segment, some new channel of distribution. How are they going to do that? They're used to selling to industrial companies with an industrial-oriented sales force. You can't send your industrial sales force out to knock on doors and ask people if they want to buy printers. A printer. So HP used its sales force to sell, instead of to consumers, of course, to discount retailers and sell those guys on the idea of carrying HP printers. Why did retailers bother to carry it? Well, because they were a good value, and because HP's publicity, sales promotions, and ads had attracted consumers who were ready to buy. So they had an integrated marketing program. And even though they were manufacturing printers sold to retailers, they were advertising downstream to create demand among consumers. When Windows showed consumers the possibilities of color printing, HP was ready. HP was the first company to make color inkjet printers. HP then developed new color printers to meet the demands of a new digital camera market segment. These guys are heads up, watching what's going on, watching the trends, watching changing technologies, and coming up with new products to serve new segments. The 2000s, HP, of course, has always been a computer company, but on July 1st, 2010, they acquired Palm. The addition of Palm handsets to the HP product line increased their mobile presence. Anybody ever see a Palm handheld product, Palm? No. Not all ideas work out for you. So on July 11th, they launched their first tablet named the HP TouchPad, bringing WebOS to tablet devices. In May 2019, HP bought supercomputer specialist Cray for $1.3 billion in cash. They're spreading out. They're trying to grow in different ways. In 2015, Hewlett-Packard split into two separate companies serving different market segments. HP Enterprise, HPE, selling services and enterprise services to businesses, and HP Inc., selling PCs and printers. Unlike the rival company, IBM, which is more focused on software, HP has focused on hardware. In 2019, they launched the world's first dual-screen gaming laptop and a new line of gaming innovations. 2019, they engaged in a sustainable impact goal statement, trying to hire from underrepresented communities, committing to double the number of Black and African-American individuals serving as executives. They're committed to donating $500,000 to social justice organizations while matching 200% of employee donations, eliminating 75% of single-use plastic packaging that comes with its products by 2025. So obviously they're also, beyond serving different segments, creating a social responsibility marketing approach. So HP has been successful by finding new market segments and targeting them with appropriate products and services. Into the future. Well, in 2022, 286 million PCs were sold worldwide, a decrease of 16% from 2021. Hewlett-Packard sales dropped by 25%. Ouch. HP has been successful in the B2B tablet market, and it maintains dominance in certain segments such as printers and printer accessories, but there is definitely room for improvement in other areas. In 2023, the company acquired Pachyderm to boost its artificial development capabilities and enable reproducible AI at scale. Yet another new segment. These guys are paying attention to changes in the marketplace, changes in the crest factors, and developing products appropriately to serve new segments. So, market segments, what are these things? These are groups of customers that have wants, needs, desires, and preferences, or product use behavior, that are different from other groups. That's worded awkwardly. So when it says different, this group of people has different wants, buying preferences, or product use behaviors than that group of people. They're a different segment. How many of you guys are fortunate enough to occasionally take a vacation? What do you like in your vacation? When you go on vacation, what's your perfect vacation? A nice beach, you like laying out in the sun, bringing one of those little drinks with a little umbrella in it. You're enjoying scuba diving. That's your beach. Who has a totally different view of a vacation? Hold on, let me come over here. I'm going to challenge my new camera guy to watch me come to you on purpose and just not lose the whole thing. What's your ideal vacation?
My family always goes to
amusement parks. I like the roller coaster. Give me the adventure of some cotton candy and stuff. Different sorts of, one other person, different kind of vacation. Yeah. Wide open. Give me the range to ride my horse on and enjoy the, okay. What's my point? There's not a vacation industry. There are different segments of the vacation market. So here we have go on an authentic expedition to Antarctica. Go climb a mountain somewhere, enjoy yourself on the beach. How many of you guys have pets that you have to leave home on vacation and you feel bad? How about a segment that lets you, a vacation package, lets you bring your animals at La Quinta Inns and Suites? Your pets are always welcome. There are no deposits or fees. Up to 2 domestic pets, cats or dogs, leave your snakes at home per room. When you check in, let the front desk know you have a pet in your room. Different segments want different things from our vacation industry. What are you prepared to do? Open spaces, the beach? Market segmentation, humor, funny as it is. Stupid point of here, boss says to the marketing folks. I've never managed marketing people before, but a good manager can manage anything. So I order you to do marketing things like segmenting and focus grouping. And keep on focusing and segmenting until we dominate the industry. And the marketers say, well, I'm motivated. All right, so segmentation. We go out and find these distinct groups with different needs, wants, and desires, behavior patterns from others. We can't service them all in most situations. So what we do is we focus on one or more target markets. A target market is a market segment that we choose to design a marketing mix for. I suppose you could be the company that can create a vacation that's perfect for the outdoorsy person, the mountain climber person, the adventure person, the beach person, the park person, but that's hard. Maybe you focus on one of those or two of those as your target markets. So market segmentation is the process of identifying and describing potential target markets. Now, you set up here because you want to pay careful attention to what I'm saying, and I see you watching. Okay, I thought you were watching cat videos. Okay. progress of identifying and describing potential market target markets. It involves aggregating these prospective buyers into groups or segments that have common needs, wants, desires that differ from other people in important ways, and who will respond within the group similarly and different from other people. If everybody looks at my wide open spaces vacation that I've developed specially for wide open space people, and everybody reacts the same to it, did I really need to develop a special mix? I mean, it seems like everybody wants the same thing. So it's a little tricky to make sure that you're finding people that have needs, wants, and desires different from others, and when you create a marketing mix, they'll react to it differently than the other people. We need to then target our market segment by positioning our brand in their mind. But first we need to define and describe the target market in detail, then we'll return to positioning. So segmentation, target marketing, positioning are our three concepts for this section of our discussion. So a different view of market segmentation. Market segmentation is the process of dividing the total market for a good or service into several smaller, internally homogeneous, similar groups. I'm just restating it a different way, because sometimes people don't quite get what I'm saying. And members of each group are similar with respect to the factors that influence the demand. So we ask the question, is there a vacation market? Well, no, not really a vacation market. There are different segments that want different things. Same sort of question, is there a car market? Same sort of answer. No, there are different segments that want different things out of their cars, yeah? So for example, on the left, anybody know what that is on the left? La Ferrari. In the middle, a family mobile Toyota RAV4. On the right, an entry-level car, the Nissan Versa. We can understand that those represent people with different needs, wants, and desires, and money. So it's not the car market, right? So the LaFerrari is the Italian automaker's first hybrid offering, equipped with a 6.3-liter V12 engine. It'll be the quickest, fastest, and with a total of 950 horsepower, the most powerful road-going car ever to roll out of the Ferrari factory. The new LaFerrari also will be the first to feature active aerodynamics to put an even keener edge on its high-speed handling characteristics from a mere 1,400. that $460,000. Probably not the first car you're getting out of college. The middle one, the family mobile Toyota RAV4, spacious, comfortable, and easy to drive. The Toyota RAV4 is a top pick for a small SUV, especially if you want a V6 or a usable kid-sized third-row seat from $27,575. The Ferrari does not have a third-row kid-friendly seat. You're not putting the soccer equipment in the LaFerrari. The entry-level car, the Nissan Versa. Nissan's Versa is the smallest and cheapest vehicle, starting at just $16,800. Obviously, there are different folks with different needs, wants, and desires in each of those groups of different sizes, different potential, and different products that they want. So members of each group are similar with respect to the factors that influence their demand and different from one another, yeah? So why would we bother with segmentation? Well, first of all, it allows us to have more efficient use of our marketing resources. We're thinking about the competition. When you think about a big tea company, who do you think of? What brand? Lipton Tea? Sound familiar? How would you, with your new brand, like to go head-to-head in the marketplace against Lipton? Do you see that that could be a little bit of a problem for you? How about if instead you take out just a little niche of the tea market, the folks that want organic and natural foods, and you develop a tea, we're going to call it Celeste, focusing on organic and natural foods. You probably aren't really threatening Lipton tea directly with that little segment that you're focused on. And it allows you to perhaps get a business going in an area where you can make efficient use of your marketing resources. Also, it's useful if you can find a segment that offers up rapid growth where you wouldn't be able to grow otherwise. For example, Oshkosh Truck Corporation discovered there was a huge opportunity in the area of fire rescue and trucks for airports, a pretty small niche product that had huge upside potential. Nobody else was satisfying the demand as well as they could have. Big growth in a small market niche. They did well in that area. You have to be a little careful, though, when you start segmenting. You can get people a little crazy. I do think that things like this, how many guys like Eggos? Eggo? What's your favorite Eggo? Do you know what kind comes to mind? The regular Eggo, who has one that they like different? The blueberry? Okay, you got the regular, the blueberry, the chocolate chip. But it goes on and on. This is the chocolate chip one, right? But they have a huge number of choices, and they come and go as they try to satisfy different segments. So we got Cinnamon Toast Eggo, we got Pancake Eggo, we got Jungle Pancake Eggo, Lego Eggo, Low Fat Eggo, Blueberry Eggo, Mini Eggo, Blueberry Nutri-Grain Eggo, Apple Cinnamon Eggo, Butter Flip Flop Eggo. So, at some point, you make people a little crazy. And then when you go and can't find your favorite flip-flop cinnamon blueberry one, you get a little peevish. Got to watch what you're doing there a little bit. All right, so process of market segmentation. First, go out there, do the research, and at this side, identify the wants and needs and desires within a marketplace. So we use market research to explore this with current and potential consumers. How? Through all those techniques we talked about last time. By in-depth interviewing, observing consumers, observing firms to determine their behaviors, how satisfied they are, what they're frustrated with, their needs, wants, and desires, what's not being fulfilled. Anybody, is the word subscribe to, a member in a fitness center? What do you look for? Weights, good weights, what do you look for? Good trainers. Anybody else a fitness center person? Anybody else belongs to any kind of gym? Okay, so we might ask ourselves, as we're about to, what do people want in a fitness center? Some of us want weights. Some of us want training. Some of us old people just want to stretch a little bit. There are different market segments out there. So what do prospects share that distinguish them from other segments who have different wants? So How about getting into shape? How about getting to peak performance? How about losing weight? How about somebody who just is going because their doctor said, hey, you got to get healthier? What about people that just want social interaction, just to have friends? What about those that need a particular sport enhancement? What about those that are provided by the employer? Can you not see pretty quickly that your gym, your wellness center, your fitness center would have to offer different things to appeal to these different segments? It's not just all one big market. There are different needs, wants, and desires out there. What is it for your business that people might want? What is it that you can satisfy? Yeah? A little, probably more detail than we need here, but the getting into shape market, the taking shape market segment consists of consumers who are primarily interested in improving the look of their bodies, perhaps through bodybuilding and weight training, as well as forms of body sculpture. The segment typically is composed of, so who are they? Younger demographic, but has equal mix of men and women. They're interested in both the facilities offered in terms of weight training equipment and suitable exercise classes that support their goals. We're understanding a bit about who they are, what they want, what we need to give them in our gym. Peak performers, this segment is highly disciplined, self-motivated individuals when it comes to their health and fitness. They're highly focused on achieving their personal best in terms of running times, endurance, weightlifting, bodybuilding, and so on. A downside of this segment is sometimes they like to own the gym. Have you ever heard that story? I can't go there because these guys are owning the whole equipment. They're owning the gym. It's not my space. And they dominate certain pieces of equipment and may slightly intimidate other customers as a result. These consumers are attracted by flexible opening hours, a broad choice of equipment and facilities. They'll tend to be longer-term customers of fitness centers, although not always loyal to one outlet. Losing it, the next market segment, losing it, which refers to the goal of losing weight. Quite common for some gym and fitness centers to specialize in weight loss programs, and overweight people perceive that regular exercise is more important for them and probably are not going to be happy at the peak performance gym. I'm big, I'm out of shape, I'm trying to lose. Oh, look at those guys over there. I don't feel comfortable. The best marketing approach to this segment is to be very welcoming to these customers, have established programs to meet their needs. The segment has some fear of attending a fitness center, particularly where most other countries are already fit and muscular. In other words, it needs an emotional support and reassurance system and motivation delivered by the fitness center staff, which is primarily key to success with this market segment. They might actually want a personal trainer. Health issues. Customers in this market attend a fitness center because they're trying to improve their health, strength, and because of doctor's orders. They typically don't really enjoy exercise all that much. They see it as a chore. They can benefit from personal trainers and a relationship with fitness staff that should encourage them to be there. But oftentimes, because they really don't like it that much, they are not long-term clients. Making friends, they're not very interested in the fitness benefits themselves. What they want to do is have an opportunity to mix with other people like them in their goals and their lifestyles. These consumers will probably moderately fit and enjoy some of the fitness activities, but really why they're there is to fulfill their social needs. Fitness centers are able to attract and retain this consumer segment by having a defined target market. So all the gym members tend to have something in common. They have a variety of class exercises that are fun and energetic, provide some space in the facility for mixing with other people, perhaps a little refreshment bar or a shop. Sports focus. These folks want to improve their strength and general fitness to better participate in their sports. These folks are quite motivated. They're looking for exercise classes and equipment that are supportive of their particular sport. Employer-provided segment. Employers may be interested in paying for fitness classes for their employees. For this segment, you want to offer workplace lectures, discounted memberships, on-site workout classes for employees. The employer might even be willing to pay for a monthly or quarterly newsletter on healthy eating, etc. What segment works for you? I don't know. What do they want? You can see different things. So, having identified all of this stuff, their needs, wants, desires, behavior patterns, next we have to identify their characteristics. Who are they? What do prospects share that makes them different from other segments or others who have other needs or wants or desires? We just hinted at that with our example from the fitness center. We began to see some of that, but you have to research it for your various segments. Do members of a particular occupation have special boot needs? What sorts of occupations might have a special need for a boot? Yeah.
Firefighters
might need steel-toed boots with good, I don't know, tread grip, etc. What other occupation might have a different need for a boot? You. Construction workers maybe don't care about grip, but they do care about steel toes. People who ride horses, what do we call them people? We don't know what we call people who ride horses. Horse riders, what? I was going for cowboys and cowgirls. They're actually people who, for a living, ride herd. So, here we have on the right-hand side, our cowboy, cowgirl, boot, or yeah, people ride horses market. On the left-hand side, we have the blue-collar workwear. So we actually find in this case that boots aren't just boots. There are different segments out there with different needs based on their occupation. What's it for your particular market? I don't know. You have to know it. Then determine the segment size. How well are they being satisfied by current offerings? So if you go out there and you find that everybody's really happy with what they got, it's probably not a great market for you. If you find out it's really teeny, there's not enough profit there, that's probably not a good market for you. So how large is the segment in terms of numbers of people or businesses? In terms of the demand that they have? In terms of the dollars, that is to say the potential sales that is out there, that should influence whether or not there is a segment you want to chase. How urgent is their need for whatever it is you're going to offer them? How dissatisfied are they with their current options? We talked before in another context about making the switch from Sony Discman disc players to MP3 players. People really had a demand for something that wasn't clunky, didn't skip when you carried it around. Boom, that transition occurred pretty quickly. How strong is the existing competition? You want to go up against Lipton Teas, Dick's Sporting Goods, Ford? Really, that's what you want to do. Let me know how that goes for you. So perhaps you don't want to go up against the strongest competition. And of course, you want to do market research forecasts that can help you determine which segments are worth pursuing based on their size, their satisfaction, their urgency, the competition that's out there. This should allow us to determine the size of the segment. Well, I'm just repeating my size of the segment, urgency of the need, the strength of the competition. So forecasts help us determine whether or not this particular segment seems to be appealing for us. That seems like a stupid paragraph after what I just said, but okay. So what are some conditions for a good market segment, for a market segment to be useful? Well, first of all, given what we just said, you have to be able to get research on them. You have to have measurable and obtainable data. If there's no available information for them, you can't determine if they're a good segment, for goodness sakes. Is there data to describe the segment for environmentally friendly products? Well, depends on what we need by that, maybe. So here I have a solar-powered lawnmower. I don't know if there is such a thing, but that's what I'm going to market. And I want to know, is there a segment out there that's interested? So in my mind, I think that it might appeal to people based on their age. Can I obtain information on the age of various segments? Is that obtainable information? Yeah, we should be able to find that out, right? So, and can we measure age? I got that locked down. I think another critical thing would be their desire for environmentally friendly products. Can you obtain that information on a group of people? Maybe. Where would you get it? I don't know. Do you have to run a whole separate survey to determine? I don't know. It may not be very obtainable. And by the way, is it measurable? Who do you talk to that says, nah, I don't want environmentally friendly products? People might feel a little compelled to tell you that they want environmentally friendly products. Are they going to pay money to buy a solar-powered lawnmower? That we aren't sure of. So, is the data available? Is it reliable? Is it measurable? You'd want to know that. Age, yes. Desire for friendly, environmentally friendly products, maybe not so much. Got to think about it. Is a segment accessible? Can you reach them with your existing sales force, with your existing advertising, with your existing media? So can you reach this audience with newspapers, if they read newspapers, the local paper, the regional paper, the national paper, in print, online? Can you reach them with the internet, targeting with Google, AdWords, or Facebook? Do they go to those sites? These sites have so much information about their customers that you can use to find your perfect local customer. They have powerful targeting capabilities. You can target locally or nationally with these platforms if you know what you're doing with their settings and you're creating ads that evoke emotion. But if you don't know the media exposure habits of your consumer, I don't know if they read magazines. I don't know what websites they go to. I don't know what radio stations they listen to. How are you reaching these people? Radio? How many guys listen to radio, either network radio, streaming radio? Yeah? So obviously we have the opportunity to reach people differentially based on the city they're in, but of course within this idea of what city you're in, we have all sorts of different music listeners that can help us to target particular groups of people. So which of these formats might your audience listen to? Classic hits, urban AC, country, classic rock, adult hits, news talk, AC, hot AC, all sports, news talk, alternative, CHR, urban, classical, all gospel, and then we run through them all. So once you identify the interests, the media habits of your consumers, you can begin to reach them through things like different radio stations based on their interest. By the way, we talked about Nielsen. There's some Nielsen ratings. So out of Akron, country, rock, news talk, urban AC, triple A. I don't know what AAA as a format is. But AAA, another place you can reach people. All right, so what do they listen to? Is it large enough to be profitable is a third criteria for a good market segment. Creating a new product or service and its advertising and distributing it and fighting down competition is all expensive to do. So is there enough size and demand and sales potential to provide you the profit that you'll need to make it work? If not, you're wasting your time on the segment. Not a good way to go. So you have to understand this element of your segment as well. In some cases, we can be successful by treating each customer as a separate segment through what's called mass customization. Anybody order a Dell computer online ever? So you go online to a Dell computer, and you can pick a lot of different things that you want on it. You can pick the processor you want. You can pick the hard drive you want, how many hard drives you want, how big you want it to be. You want it to be a regular disk. You want it to be the digital disk, et cetera, et cetera. So Dell computer assembles computers to your individual exact specifications. Nike by you, have you heard of Nike by you? Something we know about, a couple of us have. So Nike by you, you design it, we make it, and we'll deliver it to you in 3 to 5 weeks. Your shoe designed your way for you. That's individual segmentation. Assuming it's still a real thing, it does look like it is. So what if you were a shoe? Let's find out. Be just who you are by putting your you-ness into your shoe-ness with Nike by You. Nike's co-creation service for members. A little more of this, a little less of that. Just have fun customizing a shoe that feels more like you. So here's shoes. with foundations that you can change to be just your shoe. So that's sort of cool. Segmentation down to the individual level, targeting individual people. All right, so how do we think about, backing up a step, segments? At the broadest level, we can segment people based on their reason for buying. B2C, the consumer market, you buy products for your personal use. You're the final consumer. You're not buying it to make money. Different set of motivations than the other large segment, B2B, the business market, who purchases to use to make other products, to resell, or to use within organizations. So there's two big market segments, yeah? Obviously too big and broad, but it's a starting point. Which segment are you targeting? Who are you looking at? DeWalt and uses Black & Decker and DeWalt to target two different segments. So Black & Decker uses the Black & Decker name. Do you guys know Black & Decker is a tool thing? So Black & Decker, these guys don't look all that different. Yes, they're different colors, but this is the home version. DeWalt is what they use to target the business market. So the DeWalt line is a set of sturdier, more powerful power tools targeting the B2C market, B2B market, and they focus on B2C with the Black & Decker brand name.
We have...
So here's Felber and Felber talking a little bit about market segments in their B2B world of market consultancy.
We have put our stake down in manufacturing, which is very strong in many segments, despite what people may think about manufacturing. And whenever you're hearing this video, you may say manufacturing is dead. It's not. There are many, many companies doing very, very well. Many companies, especially in this region of Northeast Ohio, know how to make things. We view that we do not need 300, 400, 800 of those clients. We only need a couple. So to find all those good manufacturers, we work with the manufacturers in the business-to-business segment. We have some specialties in green marketing and early-stage clients, and social networking is layers to our service. But our stake has been on manufacturers in the business-to-business, and we try to apply all the different manufacturing knowledge that we've learned from all different companies, whether it's aerospace, or steel, or flooring, or roofing.
So he makes a good point. It's not enough just to say, hey, we're in the business-to-business market segment. In the manufacturing segment, there are these sub-segments within the broad segments that they can focus on that other marketing agencies are not targeting, are not focusing on. They're selecting ones that work well for them, given their expertise. What are some bases for segmenting consumer markets, because just talking about B2B and B2C is too broad. So here we see some bases for segmenting consumer markets. People in different geographic regions have different needs, wants, and desires from those in other regions. So what makes sense for you? Let's be very stereotypical, if we can, just to move through the conversation. When you think about food, what sorts of food do you picture people in New England, Boston, eating? Clam chowder would be the stereotypical thing. Do you picture a lot of people in the Southwest desiring a lot of clam chowder? I'm not saying nobody there eats clam, but it's not the main food difference. What might the Southwest people want? Barbecue, spicy food, okay? Generalize here to make the point, different areas of the country have different needs, wants, and desires. What makes sense for you? City size, under 10,000, 10 to 25,000, 25,000 and bigger. Statistical area, metropolitan, metropolitan, media television area. Density. You work for Marks Manure. We make magnificent manure to grow stuff. Thank you. So, we're going to market our product in the rural area. Might rural folks have a need for Mark's Magnificent Manure? What would they do with it? They put it on their farm. How would they want it delivered? How would they buy it? Do you imagine? One more time. Well, yes, how would they want it delivered to them, though? Huh? By the truckload, right? They want a big truckload of Mark's Magnificent Manure. We can deliver that. You can buy it online if you want. Might people in a suburban area have need for Mark's Magnificent Manure? Yes. What would they want it for? Their garden, maybe we also can help you with your lawn, right? How do they want to order it online? But how do they want it delivered? One 25-pound bag, you get a bunch of those bags, you're happy, and you've got that. So they have different needs in the way they want the product delivered. How about the urban segment? Do they have any need for Mark's Magnificent Manure? No, you see, you're too limited. You got to think outside the manure box. What about for their window plants? What about for the things on their balcony? Ah, they might want it too. Do they want the 25-pound bag? What do they want? Little box. So we can see that folks with different areas geographically might very well have different needs, wants, and desires for us. We also have diversified into home security. Do urban people have a need for home security systems? Yeah, you ever see the image of folks in New York City? They have the window alarm, the door alarm, they have seven locks, and the thing that goes against the door? We can sell product to them. How about the folks in suburbia? Yeah, but they don't need all of that. They need seven locks, the thing that goes in. Maybe they want the automatic security system. What about folks out in the rural areas? They need our home security. Nah, they got that covered. Shotgun and dog. Woof, boom, done. So what do they need from you given their geographic location? Yeah? Demographics. Now, this may come as a shock to y'all, but men and women buy different types of products. Write that down so you don't forget it. So who are you selling to? Male audience, female audience based on demographics. What about their age? Well, kids, senior citizens buy somewhat different products, and in between, what's the age group you're selling to? What do they need from you? Race and ethnicity, life stage, birth era. We talked a lot about the cohort groups, household size, marital status, remember family life cycle, income, education, occupation. All of these can represent different bases for segmenting your consumers. Psychographics, we talked previously when we talked about consumer behavior, understanding the personality of your consumer. People that are gregarious buy different sorts of products than those that are compulsive in their behavior. The values and lifestyle, innovators, thinkers, achievers, experiencers, believers buy different sorts of products. Behavioral segments based on situation-specific product features that they want. Are they light users, heavy users, medium users of your product? All of these represent different market segments for you, depending on what you're selling. Let's look at some examples. So, we recognize the product on the left, yes. How many of us have a nice, how many of us have a nice automatic toothbrush? Anybody? Yeah, all right, so on the left we see a Crest, clearly targeted towards what demographic segment? Adults, yeah? What we're going to do, though, is we're going to take this almost same product conceptually and target it to kids. Boom. The product, I know it's a little different. It's essentially the same product. Who's the spokespeople there? Who's that? Dora the Explorer and Boots, her monkey. Yeah. So we see what? We see that this is the product targeted to adults. Here it is targeted to kids. Obviously, adults are buying the product. That's not the point. With a spokesperson that makes sense with them. Brush with Dora every day and Boots too. And so we see a demographic target marketing, different segments that we're targeting based on age. Makes sense. Psychographic segmentation. The American population is diverse. They vary in terms of influence. The marketing firm Claritas combines different census data, age, lifestyles, and other variables to create 14 big segments across the country that have shared differing needs, wants, and values. Then they go out to the 4,000 plus US zip codes, and they divide those into these 14 groups, these 14 segments, and then into 66 similar clusters or segments within the 14 groups. So you can get a very good idea of what it means to promote your product in Ravenna, Kent, Stowe, Beechwood. Consumers in a segment tend to buy similar cars, read similar magazines, watch the same TV shows, go to the same websites, because they all share these things about lifestyle, income, etc. So you can use this for direct mail promotions to particular areas, to set locations for retail outlets. In your mind's eye, can you picture there being a difference in the need for clothing products in Ravenna, Stowe, Beechwood? Those segments might want different styles of clothing, different price points, because they're different.
Population become.
So here we hear a little blurb on how this works. Anybody here of Columbus, Ohio? You've heard of it? Yeah, good, thank you. So here we hear this broken down for Columbus.
Population becomes more diverse and affluent. Demographic researchers are changing the way they define segments of American society. The marketing research firm Claritas has defined 14 distinct groups of consumers based on recent census and consumer data that emphasize income, age, and lifestyles. Segments of each group buy the same type of cars, read the same magazines, and watch the same television shows. USA Today looks at Columbus, Ohio, where the demographic landscape matches the spectrum of groups seen across the nation, from the young digerati in urban Columbus, to the Beltway boomers who live in the burgeoning suburbs, to the bright lights little city living in small towns, to the greenbelt sports living outside the burbs. We interviewed residents within these groups. Click on a button to hear what they have to say. How would you personally define a greenbelt sport?
We are in the greenbelt sports area of Columbus, Ohio. We're excited, actually, to live up here. I think greenbelt sports to us, I think, fits because we're a sports family, and we like to attend all the sporting events in Columbus, and we like to go to as many sporting events as we can, and all of our kids and family participates in sports.
And how do you feel about being categorized as one?
Fits the community pretty well. I would say that we're demographically a pretty conservative community, conservative values, patriotic, big parades during 4th of July, things like that. It's a fun place to live, a lot of activity, a lot of friendly people.
In your own terminology, how would you like to be defined?
I don't think anybody really likes to be pegged into a particular category, but I don't like the green belt part means. The sports part is certainly, there's no question that that fits, I think, this community. Just a lot of great adults and kids that that participate in sports. So I'd say we fit into that category real well, and don't really mind, I suppose, being placed in that category.
How would you personally define a young digerati?
I would define a young digerati as someone who lives in an urban environment where digital devices make a big difference in how they live their lives.
I would define a young digerati as someone who has too many digital devices to the point where the devices are actually ruling your lives. I don't know if we could survive without our TiVo and our Palm Pilots anymore.
How do you feel about being categorized as one?
I think the people they're calling young digerati are the people who used to be Generation X, and Generation X was just too overused. So now we're the digerati.
In your own terminology, how would you like to be defined?
In my own terminology, I would call myself as a young professional Asian American. I wouldn't refer to myself by the things that I buy.
I think it's interesting that they are trying to define us by the things that we buy when it used to be defined by a time, and I think that that's indicative of the time we live in, that we're nothing but a market segment now.
Well, yes, from a marketer's viewpoint, you're a market segment. What do you want from me? We're marketers. Yes, you're right. But do you see how you can begin to see in your mind's eye who these people are, the sorts of things that would appeal to them, the sort of advertising approach you would take, maybe the type of influencers they would listen to, yeah? And they're different from one another. They have different needs, wants, and desires, and they tend to cluster together in geographic areas, in particular areas of the city or the country. So Claritas can help you to get there. behavioral segmentation, another segmentation approach. These folks look for particular product features. And of all things, credit card companies have done a magnificent job of taking a piece of plastic and targeting it to different segments of the population. Boy, those marketers, they're slick. Citicard's various products offer different benefits, rewards, establishing credit, small business benefit, no frills. So based on what behaviors you engage in, they have a card for you. Here's their Simplicity credit card, low intro APR on balance transfers and purchases. Here's a City Advantage Platinum Select. I think my wife must have a couple of those, where you can get air miles. Here's the Costco Anywhere business card by Citi, and on. If you want rewards, we got a card for you. If you want travel, we got a card for you. If you want cash back, we have a card for you. We've taken this piece of plastic based on the behaviors that you engage in, and we've got a card for you. Fantastic in terms of finding a segment and satisfying them. Usage rate. There's some people that just won't use your product. That's unfortunate, but you ought to know who they are and why they won't use it. What about users that are light users or medium users or heavy users? Anybody here? I'm trying to think what would make sense. As soon as I say something, you aren't a heavy user of it. Heavy users of Starbucks. One person. Medium users of Starbucks. Light users of Starbucks. Non-users of Starbucks, okay? So we have different segments out here within the audience. Who are you? How are you the same in that segment? How are you different from other people? I have to know these things. It turns out that in general, across many businesses, many industries, and many brands, 20% of your customers generate the bulk of your product. So you have what's very important to you from a small group of people. At Best Buy, down here, less than 50% of all users account for 80 to 90% of sales. That's more true in general. I'm about to move over to Best Buy. 50% of your users account for 80 or 90% of your sales. What happens if you piss off that 50%? You're in trouble. What happened to poor Bud Light? They pissed off the heavy users of their product. Sales dropped by 38%. Oops. They didn't do that on purpose, but still. Best Buy found that 20% of their companies generate the bulk of their profits by buying high margin items without any rebates. Yay, we like you. However, they also found that there was another group of consumers that were a drain on their profits. They would only shop for bargains. They would use their rebates often. They'd buy stuff and return the merchandise that they bought. Or worse yet, they go into the store, pick the salesperson's brain, leave the store and buy it online from somebody else. You should know who those people are if you are a Best Buy manager, and you should ask your employees to do what? Well, to focus on the folks that are angels. You can't exactly ignore the devils, but don't pay as much attention to them. So train your employees to identify angels and give them special attention and maybe not worry so much about these other group of folks that are mostly a drain on your profits. Combination approaches to doing market segmentation. Market segments can be created using several bases mixed together. So we've been pretending that demographics is different than geographics is different than behavior, but you can mix things together. For example, gender, a demographic base, and lifestyle, the athletic women segment, targeting women who lead an active and fitness-oriented lifestyle, which is what Lululemon does. Any Lululemon fans? Two people. All right, so they have a big focus over here. That's not to say they don't have anything for men, but it's not their main focus. It's not as elaborate as what they have for women. Or in the next example, we can do geographic and consumer intentions, a behavioral base interspersed.
What we do is we create segments of types of keywords people will be Googling. For example, best home warranty in Mississippi, best home warranty in Nebraska, whatever. Those are segments and have a certain intent. We'll create content around that, publish it on our websites, Google will rank it, people will show up and they'll click our links and they'll go and buy home warranties. We'll make money. Now there's other segments like best home warranty for plumbing. That's a whole different intent, and the user, the people who are Googling stuff, have different needs, and we bucket those segments differently. So like best home warranty for plumbing, best home warranty for HVAC, those are two segments in the umbrella of home warranty affiliate marketing.
So they have a really nice situation there. They know you are actually in the market to buy something. That's why you're searching. So they can set up a website based on your behavioral intent, home warranty or plumbing or HVAC, and then based on your particular geographic location, your state or your city, Shane, my kid actually knows Shane, and working with Shane, he actually set up for a while a site where you could do HVAC investigation. Once he set it up with all the content, he's let it go since, but money just rolled in as people searched, and he got rewards as people looked at his site. So based on the intent of the consumer, their behavior, based on where they are, the website provides information, and bada bing, bada boom, you have a combination segmentation approach. So the market provides values for those segments that have different locations and different needs. I think we're going to call it a day. We will invite you to have a nice week and see you next week.